Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you for joining us. Pleasure to be with you as always. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Ken Blanchard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a guy who really needs no introduction. You know him very well. He's one of the top motivational management experts in the world, and he's written I don't know how many books, something under a 500 books, I think, something like that. Sold millions around the world. He's Mr. One-Minute Manager, and he's become one of our friends. His new book is brand spanking new. It's called The Leadership Pill, which he co-wrote with a guy named Mark Munchik. Muchnik, I think is how you pronounce that last name. Let's get Ken on the show here. Ken, welcome back.
Jim, nice to be with you again. How are you?
We're doing great. It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Well, super.
Ken, the Leadership Pill is a book that you and Mark Muchnik, did I say that name properly?
Yes.
That you and Mark wrote, and it's an intriguing story that about two different leaders who have totally different management styles. Tell us about that.
Well, it's really kind of a fun book, Jim. It's made the Wall Street Journal after 2 weeks it came out, Wall Street Journal's list. But it's about a pharmaceutical company who thinks that they have the ingredients that will make an effective leader. And when they announce that, the country goes crazy, of course, because everybody thinks we need better leaders, and particularly out here in California. and when they release it, it outsells Viagra and all of the major drugs, and the owners and the founders start selling off their stock, and they call them billionaires. Along comes this guy who calls himself the effective manager, and he challenges them to a no-pill challenge. He says, if you pick out two non-performing groups, put a manager on the pill on one, and he'd take the other one, and he'll outperform him at the end of the year. And, of course, he has to take a drug test every week just to make sure he's not taking any pills on the side. But it's Mark Muchnik, who I did it with, is a young guy about 31 years old, who did some really interesting research on what does the Y generation, and the young Xers, the young people today,
right,
want from leaders. And he calls it the secret blend, which is what the effective manager uses, and uses them as values and integrates them into them. And the three are fascinating, Jim. The first one is integrity, for years people have said the number one thing people are looking for in leaders is integrity, and yet I think us oldsters and other people, talk about it, but if somebody doesn't show any integrity, we talk about it in the hallways and in the bathrooms, but don't do anything. The young people today walk out, They don't take it. It's really interesting. Margie and I, my wife and I, teach a course at Cornell. We have 500 or 600 students for 3 days every year teaching them leadership. And I want to tell you, in the last 5 years, the kids are different. And I talk to the recruiters coming in there, and they say, these kids are something. And
one of the things I was going to say, Ken, is what I've seen is when you and I were coming up, most people were looking for a job, and they if their allegiance was to the company, and if they had a bad leader, a bad manager, they realized that, well, I'm going to have to put up with this for a year and a half because this guy will either be gone or he'll move over or move up or down or something, and maybe I'll have a better leader the next time. But we pretty much stayed tied to the company. But the way the younger people are now is, they're tied to themselves more than they're tied to the company. If their manager isn't honorable, doesn't have integrity, isn't a good leader, I mean, they're not they don't have this job security illusion that a lot of people in the older generations have.
Yeah, that's right, and they're not going to sit around and outwait them. fact, they'll go right around them to the top of the organization, too.
Well, you know, Ken, when you started out, especially, and to a large degree me as well, you know, people went to work out of high school or out of college thinking you'd be with one company the rest of your lives. These kids have no such illusion.
No, when I graduated from Cornell in 61, a friend of mine got a job with AT&T, and he called home, and his mother cried. She said, "You're set for life," you know, because that was the assumption, you know.
Yeah, and he probably was.
Yeah, 35 years, and you ride off in the sunset with a watch.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, Ken, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back to this, folks. We're talking about the leadership pill. Maybe you have your own kind of leadership pill. We're going to talk about that right after these messages with our good friend Ken Blanchard. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Ken Blanchard, the co-author of the book, along with Mark Muchnick. In a minute, it keeps looking like something else. Mark Muchnick, which is almost as difficult to say as Blassingame. And he and Mark are the authors of a brand new book, which has already reached the bestseller list of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, right, Ken?
Yes.
The Wall Street Journal bestseller. It's called The Leadership Pill, The Missing Ingredient in Motivating People Today. And Ken, the story behind the book is that two leaders were working sort of one with the pill and one without the pill, right?
Yes, and the effective manager without the pill, as we mentioned in the last segment, has three ingredients. It's really based on a study that Muchnick did of what young people, the Y generation and the young Xers, want from leaders. And the first one we mentioned was this integrity.
Integrity.
You know, they're not willing. They're not tied up in job security like a lot of us were. And if people don't walk their talk, they're going to, you know, go walk up the hierarchy and tell people. And if nobody takes any action, they're out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is an interesting one. They want a partnership relationship. They absolutely hate people to talk about they're the boss or superior, subordinate, you know, any of that. They want to be your partner. And if they can be a financial partner, they love that. And if they can't, they want a minimum to be a psychological partner. They want to act like they own the place. And they want you to treat them like they got brains and that they can make a contribution. So partnership is the second key ingredient that
this
they want.
This is very important, Ken, and it's something that my audience has heard me talking about for a long time. And that is the difference between being a dominator manager and a partner manager.
Yes.
A dominator is the old style, Ken. You and I grew up with those guys. These are the guys who, you know, who it's their way or the highway. And you know what? That worked in the 20th century to some degree, but it doesn't work in the 21st century. And the people who are dominators, who are managers, who try to dominate, they're dinosaurs waiting to happen, waiting to become extinct, in my opinion. And the partner model, one of the things I want to point out, Ken, that I'd like for you to comment on, and you mentioned the financial part. If they can be financial partners, that's what they want. But the truth is, you don't have to take that literally from a financial standpoint. You can be a partnering manager without sharing the ownership of your company with somebody. And Ken, I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about what you think a partner manager would be along those lines.
Well, I think a partnering manager is really kind of a servant leader from my standpoint, and two parts of being a servant leader. The first one is that you're really clear on, the vision. You know what business you're in and where you're headed and what your value should be, and you're really clear on goals. See, Jim, leadership's about going somewheres. And if you don't know where you're going, your leadership style doesn't matter.
Right.
But you can involve your people in giving you feedback on those and all, but responsibility goes with the manager to make sure that the vision and direction are clear. But then what these partnership really means is now you turn the traditional pyramid upside down, the hierarchy, and you work for your people.
Mm-hmm.
You really are their partner. You're there for them, and you're there for them to help them, what, live according to the vision and to accomplish the goals, you know? I mean, you're not there to cross your arms and evaluate them and act like you're the boss and you got all the brains and
well, one of the
all
things,
those kind of things. They literally want you to come alongside them. I think that's a nice image, Jim, for a partnership.
Absolutely.
Come alongside your people.
Absolutely. One of the things that I like to think of is that is all small business owners have a pretty healthy ego or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. But what I try to encourage people to do is feed your ego through the success of your people and ultimately the success of your business, not your own personal success.
Yes.
Be proud of growing these productive employees who are growing your business and be proud of the end result of the accumulation of all of their successes. And also, another way, to identify a partner manager, Ken, is partner managers use the word, they manage their pronouns very well. They say we a lot more than they say I.
Yes, and I think that's really powerful. Another thing, Jim, that I have found is that they rise up the level, I mean, the development of people to an equal partner with performance, equal importance with performance. And so often what's done in organizations, and I think it's pushed by Wall Street and others, is it's either results or people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as long as you get the results, you know, lay off your people, do this and all. And partnership people say it's not either or, it's both and.
Right.
Because, you know, you can get two people oriented and forget that you have to get some results. So it's both and rather than either or. And I think that's a very important distinction. So people do not mind, Jim, I have found, being held accountable for results if they know that their manager is their partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not sitting there. And one of the things you got to get out of your organizations and out of your heads, all you entrepreneurs, is the whole concept of a normal distribution curve, you know,
mm-hmm.
where you have to, you know, somehow psychologically screw a certain percentage of your people because you got this belief that everybody can't perform well. Forget it. I mean, you don't go out and hire losers. You go
right.
out and hire either winners or people you got from other companies.
Ken, hold on to that
thought. What you want them to do.
Hold on to that thought. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about the third ingredient, very important ingredient. It's all part of the book that Ken wrote with Mark Muchnick called The Leadership Pill. We're going to be right back after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Ken Blanchard, the co-author of a book called The Leadership Pill. And this story has three ingredients. We talked about the integrity issue in leadership and also the partnering issue in leadership. And now we're ready to talk about the third ingredient. And Ken, in literature, I'm trying to remember the author of the book. He wrote the book called The Third Ingredient. And in that story, the third ingredient was an onion.
Uh-huh.
Now, they were making a stew, and they needed a third ingredient, and that was the onion. So, but I don't remember, but I don't know what the third ingredient is in the leadership pill. So tell us what that is.
It's an affirmation, Jim. The young people today not only want to be caught doing something right, but they want to be known as individuals. You know, they don't want to just be a number.
Right.
And I know Harvey McKay, when he wrote Swim with Sharks, had what he called McKay 66. What you ought to know about your people, you know? And most people, they can't answer five of the questions on there,
mm-hmm.
you know? And these young people want to be known. The reason they want to be known as individuals is that another thing that's really interesting about them is they don't want to wait, you know, for 10 years before they get a life balance. They want life balance now. They've
right.
seen their parents, you know, just bust their shops and everything, and then just get downsized or thrown aside. Or
they don't want.
Like
they're
that.
Not waiting for retirement to get what to live their life, are they?
That's right. They're not willing to work 80 to 90 hours, you know, a week, with the idea, you know, that they're going to get an opportunity in 10 years or something like that. That's just not where they're at. It's I think you're going to see a lot more stay-at-home moms with these people. They're willing to, you know, look at things in very different ways. So it's kind of exciting. So they want integrity. They want you to walk your talk. They want you to look at them as a partner. And they want affirmation. They want to be known as people. And and these are three wonderful values that you can operate your organization from. And I think really turn the place around in an incredible kind of way if it's not pulling it the weight that you want it to do.
It's called The Leadership Pill, folks. That's the name of the book. It's brand spanking new, already on a bestseller. And, Ken, congratulations on that. Ken, there's another book out, though, that as we wrap up the hour, I want to talk about a little bit about this book called The Servant Leader. And also, I want you to tell us a little bit about an event that you've got coming up in November.
Well, Jim, I have a nonprofit ministry called the Center for Faith Walk Leadership, and our mission is to challenge and equip people to lead like Jesus. And we're not evangelists. You know, I always tell people we got enough trouble with the Christians we have. We don't need any more new ones. Gandhi said if all Christians would behave like Jesus, everyone would want to be a Christian. And the servant leader is all about the heart, the head, the hands, and the habits of the way Jesus led, and it was all about servant leadership. And we have a big celebration where we're launching the Lead Like Jesus movement around the country on November 20th. We're simulcasting and broadcasting out of Birmingham, Alabama, but the Christian Communication Network is going to take it by satellite to sites all over the country, and so you can get your church involved and that kind of thing. Rick Warren, who wrote A Purpose-Driven Life, now that's, you know, sold 5 million copies and has just been a real phenomenal in the publishing business, is going to co-host it with me. I'm going to have Rosie Greer, the great football player,
right,
co-founder of Impact Urban America, Lori Beth Jones, who wrote Jesus CEO, CEOs like Bill Pollard from ServiceMaster and Don Soderquist, who was vice chairman of Walmart, Dan Cathy, who's president of Chick-fil-A, and it's just going to be a celebration that the greatest leadership role model of all time is probably Jesus of Nazareth. He hired 12 incompetent people. I mean, he could have gotten some decent preachers, and the only guy who was, you know, had much education was Judas, and he was his only turnover problem.
Right.
But the important thing about a leader is not what happens when you're there, it's what happens when you're not there.
Right.
They carried on, so
Ken,
really
we're about to wrap up. Is there a place that people can find out more about that event? Is there a website?
Yes, they just need to log on to www.leadlikejesus.com.
All right.
You can find out all about it and come join us. So,
and by the way, folks, you can find out more about Ken. Is that KenBlanchard.com, Ken? Your website? KenBlanchard.com.
Yes.
And also, The Leadership Pill is his new book. It's available wherever books are sold. And The Servant Leader is also available wherever books are sold. Thanks, Ken. Good job today. We're looking forward to seeing you next time.
All righty. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Great to be with you.
You too, Ken. Ken Blanchard, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.